This episode of Stars and Characters is brought to you by the original web series, The Friend Zone. The Friend Zone is a hilarious new comedy series of a support group incapable of getting their relationships out of the infernal friend zone. You can watch and subscribe to The Friend Zone online at their YouTube channel at youtube.com/ocelotwebworks. That's youtube.com/OCELOTwebworks.
A moistener farmer.
A moisture farmer?
Moistener.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Zet Jukasa. Zet Jukasa appears in two of the Star Wars movies, Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. My name is Crab Droid Chris.
What do they?
This is like a big crab looking robot droid, mostly. All the like the crab legs that like, crawl around.
Where is that from?
You basically just said the same thing three times. Crab, crab, crab.
Yeah, I did.
What episode?
I want to say the clones, I think.
Okay.
Today I'm joined by Captain Matanaka.
Wait, is that Panaka reference?
Yes, it is.
Wow, that's a stretch. Terrible Dave, one, too.
Ooh.
Dave Rendar.
That's not bad.
Dash Rendar from...
The game, the Shadows of Empire game, was it, back then? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Game, book, when they came out figures, those... and comic books.
I remember when those toys came out, and I was like, I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, I always thought he was like a Han Solo wannabe kind of guy.
Okay.
And Ahsoka Timo.
Oh, boy.
That's okay.
Ahsoka Timo.
Yes.
Give us some facts about Zet Jukasa, please.
Zet Jukasa. All right. Well, the character of Zet Jukasa is a humanoid character, actually a human character. I didn't write down the planet he was born on. I don't even know if it said.
Fail, but, Tim. Fail again.
Yeah,
come on,
I'm,
man.
I'm looking here. I'm like, did I not write it down his planet? Anyway, he came from some planet, obviously. But his birth name,
the Rim World of Mon Gaza. There, that took me 2 seconds to find out, Tim.
Oh, did you? Is that what it is?
Yes, that's what it is.
Very good.
Thanks.
Suck it.
I said I was not going to get mad in this episode. Well, too late.
And we're 30 seconds in.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Zet Jukasa, his birth name is Warpock Scamini.
I did hear that.
And sure,
his
rap
name was
name?
Changed. Yeah, I don't get this. His name was changed when he was identified as Force sensitive and sent to the Jedi Temple.
Whoa. So, okay. What is this? This is new.
This blew my mind. So, if you're a baby, and you're brought to the temple, do they automatically change your name?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like,
why have we never stumbled on Obi-Wan's original name?
Yeah, but. Maybe his original name is actually Ben. Maybe and he went back.
Maybe Yoda's original name was Nick.
Grover.
Grover.
Grover. Yeah. So,
yeah, this I do not get. I do not understand this.
It's almost like a Muslim thing. Like this is their Jedi name. And I've often wondered that, and maybe you're right, Tim. Like, why does he just start using the name Ben? Maybe that's his name. And he's going back to his birth name rather than his Jedi name.
Yeah, who knows? I don't. This I thought was interesting, and I never saw any other ones. Like, I didn't go to Kit Fisto when his original name was Steve Rogers. So I don't know. I just don't get it.
I'm reading three paragraphs of Obi-Wan's biography on Wikipedia, and no mention that his name was ever anything other than Obi-Wan.
So, but yeah, this is the first time I've seen this where they changed where his name was changed when he was brought to the temple.
They don't do it with Anakin.
No, yeah. He was Anakin before, Anakin after. So, yeah, this is one of those things that just sort of, there's a big question mark next to it. But he was brought there. When he was brought there, he, obviously a baby, so he didn't remember his parents, and so he's unaware of his family heritage. But through the Force, he had this ability to sense the murder of his parents. So he's like a 6 or 7 year old kid, and in his Force sensitive mind's eye, he sees the brutal murders of his two parents. And I guess he goes to Yoda or some of the Jedi temple leaders and tells him about this. And for some reason, there is a Jedi Knight already on the case investigating, and that Jedi Knight is Mirmi Yunel.
Bless you.
What was their original name?
And I looked him up to see if I could find some information, and there was nothing. There's very little information on this Mirmi Yunel. And Mirmi decided to take Zet in as his apprentice. So he Zet Jukasa had actually two masters. During the Clone Wars, he and I keep forgetting the guy's name, Mirmi Yunel, were commanders in the army. Mirmi was obviously a Jedi general, and Zet was a commander in many of battles. But his master was eventually killed in the battlefield. And then he was taken, he was sent back to the temple, a Padawan orphan, when he was then taken by a new master by the name of Syndralag. And we actually see Syndralag in the movie, in Revenge of the Sith. Mm. You see him in as a hologram during the when Obi-Wan goes and looks at the security tapes of Anakin killing everybody.
Yeah.
Syndralag is the long-haired Jedi that he is, that you see him fighting, and I'm pretty sure you see Syndralag get killed. Mm. The character of Syndralag was played by the stunt coordinator Nick Gillard, whom Chris and I have met very briefly at Celebration 2 and 3, I think. So yeah, Syndralag was his new master. Then he gets killed during the Jedi Purge, and that's about all we know about him up until the part in Episode 3 where you see this little badass kid Jedi come out and start cutting down clone troopers in front of.
I actually counted
Bail Organa.
I actually counted how many went down.
How many? Now I have a number here.
Go ahead.
How many did you count?
I thought he got down 7.
I got it.
It says here he cut down 8 clone troopers before being killed by Clone Sergeant Fox.
Yeah, my son and I watched it, but we watched it 3 times with slow-mo and pause. You got
8 people going down?
We got 8, because a couple of the guys he gets with deflecting blaster fire, one guy he just kind of kicks them down.
Yeah.
Then there are the guys that he slices. But pretty cool. I mean, some of these other Master Jedi, they get like 1 or 2 before they get taken down. This kid gets 8.
You know what? I'm going to say this, whether you believe it or not, that is my favorite scene of that movie.
Really?
It really is. I thought that was very cool that there was one youngling or slash very young Padawan that was able to take out a half dozen of them. Well, it turns out it's 8, more than some of these masters. I thought that was really cool. I like I said, believe it or not, that really is my favorite scene from that movie.
I think it is a neat scene. I mean, yeah, partly because you see a kick, just some kick-ass action. It's real quick, but it's pretty badass.
It's a cool scene for kids
I like the kid's age. He was the right age for that scene for some reason for me. That struck a chord with me. He wasn't too young and he wasn't too old. I liked the age. I thought I don't know why I liked it so much, but I think we're hitting it. The action, and like I said, the fact that this one young energetic kid wiped out half the people attacking him before he was cut down. I liked it.
Yeah, and also it was kind of a neat little touch. There wasn't a punch pull here. It was
yep.
This is a 12 year old kid, I guess. I don't know how old Jet Lucas was when he filmed this, but I'll say a 12-year-old kid, and so we see him graphically get killed on screen.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of a nice touch.
It says he was 10 when they filmed.
Oh, okay, well, actually, though, no, then he's younger than I was thinking. I thought he was like actually a young teenager, like 13, 14. That's still, I mean, I still like the scene, regardless how old he was or was supposed to be. I do like that scene.
One of the reasons why he was maybe able to cut down as many clones is one of his strongest force talents was the force ability of farsight. He was very farsighted.
They make corrective lenses for that.
Yeah, but the farsight is the ability to see into the immediate split second future, which comes in handy when deflecting like laser bolts with your lightsaber, so you can see ahead of time where the laser bolt is going to go in that next split second. Mm. So he was very adept at that. So that I guess is what helped him to survive just a little bit longer than he normally would have had he not had that talent. He was actually trying to get to Bail Organa's speeder to escape, to get out of the temple. He didn't make it.
That's what I asked you. Like, why does he pick that time to pounce on them? Did he think that Bail Organa was under attack and he knew that he was important? It's kind of like a sneak attack. And I guess that was my question. Is he doing that for Jimmy Smits's benefit or for his own?
Oh, interesting.
I believe I read that he and Bail Organa had worked together, and he knew that Bail had a lot of respect for the Jedi. So I think when he saw Bail Organa drive up in his cool little speeder, he's like, okay, it's going to be dangerous, but this is my chance to get out of here. Get over there to you know, NYPD Blue, and let's get out of here.
What's weird is if you listen carefully, he says shotgun.
I thought it was just an instinctual best chance he had. They were distracted. Their backs were towards him. So I need to take some of these out. This is the only chance I got. They're distracted. They're all turned around. I'm going for it.
Although, yeah, that's what I was thinking it was. And how cool it was that he got 8 of them.
Yeah.
Before he got, you know, taken out. But Jimmy Smits in that scene, who is a pivotal character in the prequels and then would go on to raise the person that would lead the rebellion into the next phase of its existence. He's kind of a quitter in that scene. He walks up and he's like, what's going on? And they say, there's been a rebellion and it's time to leave. And he goes, and so it is.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what's he going to do?
He's a quitter.
Call Dennis France.
I mean, they pull their guns on him, and he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just kind of a strange scene. But like Matt said, I think we're all in agreement, and I'm shocked about Jet Lucas. We all like this scene. I like this character. Matt seems to. I can't believe it. And you know,
I did say it's the one scene in that movie. So there has to be one.
We're in agreement. He's other than Obi-Wan and Yoda, he's the last Jedi to die.
One of the last, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the
probably the last Jedi to die in the temple.
He is
as far as we know.
And he's like the last of the nameless. Not that they all were nameless, some of them had names like Plo Koon and Kit Fisto and all these Jedi that some people like, some people don't, but you know, it's him, Obi-Wan, and Yoda are the last three surviving Jedi. Because at that point, Anakin isn't a Jedi anymore. He's a Sith, right?
Right. Yep.
But I didn't know until you guys just started talking about this that he was in episode 2. Does he play the same character, like him as a little boy in episode 2 and then him as like a preteen in episode 3? It's the same thing?
See, that's the thing is when Attack of the Clones came out, his character was named Warpock Scamini, which is what they say was his birth name. And there was a little retcon afterwards because he had a different name. Technically, he was a different character. Yeah. But after episode 3 came out, what they did was they just took those two characters and just combine their backstories to become one character. So yes, you see him in the library right after the librarian, and I'm blanking on her name.
Jocasta New,
yes. Right after she sort of tells Obi-Wan that he's an idiot, she walks off and bows, and they both, Jocasta New and Jet Lucas, bow to each other, and they go off to read a book together.
Sam, I am.
He doesn't have any dialogue.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know if he says master, or he might say something. He might say one word in Attack of the Clones, but I really don't remember. I'd actually forgot about that scene earlier today. Chris reminded me of that scene. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. He was in that.
I had no idea till you just started talking about this, and so that's I'm only asking because I had no clue. Well, that's cool. I'm glad they kind of tried to keep some continuity there, even if it was kind of accidental.
Just imagine, though, like being 10-year-old kid in school, and you're in the new Star Wars movie, and all your friends, you know.
Well, and I mean, look at Jake Lloyd, man. He apparently got made fun of like horribly.
Well, he should. I mean, he said yippee twice.
I believe Jake Lloyd went to public school. And that poor kid, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about growing up after being in that movie. In terms of his personal life and social life, he got cut down horribly, I guess, in school from bullies and probably kids that were just jealous because, you know, there's this famous kid that sits next to me in class. I'm going to make fun of this kid. But Jet Lucas obviously didn't go to public school, so he doesn't have to worry about that as much.
I want to go back to something Dave just said about keeping continuity by using this character in two movies. But they changed his name and then made this huge piece of discontinuity in the whole Star Wars galaxy by saying that Jedis get renamed when they're born, though apparently none of them ever have except this one somehow.
Yeah, it's good in one way, and then it's like accidental and totally messed up in another. This is, though, like Matt said, this is in the middle of one of my favorite sequences. It's got to be my favorite sequence of the prequels. That whole, I don't know, I'm going to call it the Jedi Purge.
Yes.
I love that. And the fact that he comes out flipping, like, I didn't know it was George Lucas's kid.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all until we actually started doing this show.
I think I knew afterwards when, like, Chris and Tim told me. You know, that was George Lucas's kid. I was like, oh, the kid was cool. I mean, I don't know anything about martial arts. He seems to handle him. So I'm sure the flipping is whether him or it's CGI or whatever. But as far as like the handling of the sword, it looks good to me. What do I know? You know, like the kid did a nice job.
He trained with Gallard. I mean, it says right here he trained with him. Mm. A little tiny scene.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
I think he does a nice job. And I'm not against nepotism if it's done well.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think it's kind of sweet. I mean, say what you want about George Lucas. There's kids. He loves his kids. He's proud of his kids. Are all of his kids in it? I know the daughter's in episode 3 as well. He said he's got a bunch of kids.
Yeah, they're both of all three of them are in at one point.
Yeah.
I think it's sweet. I love it. Like, nice. There are some people that are turned off by that. You know, like what's Will Smith's kid's name?
Jada.
I mean, Will Smith has created a career for this kid.
Yeah.
And I think the kid can act. And I think it's sweet. And some people are like, you know, it's nepotism, it's wrong. But this isn't as far as that, obviously. The kid's in it I didn't time it.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like if he was put into I'm trying to think of a big role. And if he was Anakin and it couldn't put two words together, you know, to save his life, that'd be a problem. But no, I mean, I'm sitting here saying it's my favorite scene. So it's obviously a good choice.
Yeah. It's tempered nepotism and it's watered down. It's a good choice. It's a way to get his kid in there, but I force his kid on anybody. I think it's really cool. I love cool. it.
I wouldn't call it cool. I don't mind it.
He is no Godfather 3 Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, that's the example that was jumping around in my head, too, as I was saying all this.
Yeah.
What about Sage Stallone?
Oh.
Rocky 5.
And Daylight.
Luckily, he was recast in Rocky. Or Rocky Balboa. Rocky 6. There is a little bit more to the Jet or the Zet Jukasa story, and this is where it gets kind of macabre and a little bit like the Holocaust. Is after the purge, you know, they took all the Jedi that were killed in the temple, brought them all out to the public front steps of the Jedi temple, and burned them in one massive pyre.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Blu-ray, please.
And the clone troopers went one by one, and they got the Jedi records and checked off everybody as they were throwing them on the pyre.
Wow.
So little Jet or Zet Jukasa, they checked his name and threw him on the fire.
You're saying this is just written. This was never filmed, right?
This was never filmed. This is probably in. I never read the Revenge of the Sith novelization. It's either in Revenge of the Sith Order 66, which is a novel about that, or possibly Dark Lord, which takes place immediately after.
Zet Jukakis, a fair Jedi, but a hell of a Yule log.
Ooh.
And after the after the pyre, you know, obviously there was propaganda put out there to make the Jedi look even worse and to make them look like traitors. And the propaganda was spread that Zet Jukasa was killed after being overheard saying that he was going to kill Bail Organa.
Mm. So this is very World War II.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, that whole thing is that's weird that it's just public burning of bodies, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is another good, simple, cool, straightforward backstory without a whole lot of shenanigans going on that I really like. Tim, nice going.
Come on, Tim, you got to fix that. Enough of this already.
Well, that's all I got. But there is one thing. You know, his name, the actor's name is Jet Lucas, and they changed his character's name is Zet Jukasa, which is a play on the name. For some, and I never heard this before, but they call that when you take a person's name and change it around just enough, it's called a Tuckerization.
Why?
I had never heard of this. I don't know if this is something strictly Lucasfilm related, because I know George Lucas produced the movie Tucker. But I don't know why they call it a Tuckerization. It's weird. And on Wikipedia, there's actually a little link for it, but it doesn't really give the history as to why it's called a Tuckerization.
Did the kid come up with his own name? Because I know that part of one of the things that people hated...
Tim, another 2 seconds of research.
I don't think he came up with his own Tucker's name.
Tuckerization is the act of using a person's name in the original story as an in-joke. The term is derived from Wilson Tucker, a pioneering American science fiction writer and fanzine editor who made the practice of using his friends' names for minor characters of his stories. 2 seconds, okay. Tim. 2 seconds
was
of work.
Was this on Wikipedia or
no,
Wikipedia?
No, it was not. Wikipedia. 2 seconds.
The internet.
Two seconds, Tim. That's 4 seconds of work I had to do for you.
What the fuck is the internet?
But like you said, he didn't think he did his name. But I know that when people were raging, and I may have even been one of them, about Jar Jar Binks and all that crap that went down. One of the things that people I think were angry about, and I remember this, is that Lucas said in an interview he let his kid name some of the characters.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were often, it may have even been Jar Jar, they were often some of the dumber names. Was it this kid? Was it Jet? Did he name some Star Wars characters?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I guess when Episode 1 was coming out, again, I don't know exactly how old he is. The kid is in college, I would think, right now. So he's probably in his, like, probably 20, 21. So, yeah. When Jar Jar was made, he would have been, like, 7, 6, maybe. I don't know.
What's weird, it says here that during production, the character's name changed several times. It was first scripted as Titty Jukasa.
Awesome. I did see these.
Then renamed Tado Jukasa and then just Tado before it became Zet Jukasa.
And another 2 seconds of research tells me that Jet Lucas is currently 18 years old.
Okay. I didn't think that the age was going to come.
What are you on, Matt? What is it that you're looking at? Tell us.
It's called effort.
It's called Google.
It's called caring about producing a quality show. Apparently, Tim doesn't.
Zinger. Well, that thing about the funeral pyre is really interesting. I mean, like, this was a purge, and not only are they burning them to get rid of them and get rid of evidence in some ways, that's their way, like you said, they're checking the records. They're checkmarking everyone off.
Nah, man, they're making sure zombies ain't coming back. They don't want to mess with zombie Jedis.
Well, I wonder if there was like if they ever did this scene, or if anyone ever did this scene, it would be great to see, like, Commander Cody or some head, whoever's in charge of this, with a clipboard with all the names on it and with check marks next to them, except for the two that said Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
If this was Schindler's List, Jet Lucas would be the little girl in the red jacket, you know, that you see throughout the film. And this funeral pyre on the other side of Coruscant, it would look like it was snowing ash, just like in Schindler's List.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Did you see Schindler's List?
Little girl in the red jacket? But yeah, I see what you're talking about. But how does this fit with the funeral pyre? Because Zet Dukakis is dead.
Yeah, no, what? Schindler's List spoiler alert.
Oh, God, really? Okay.
All right, in Schindler's List, you see not every time, but a lot of times when Liam Neeson is looking out the window, he sees this little girl in a red coat. That's a black and white movie. What? And he sees this girl in a red coat. You see an actual red coat in the movie walk up and down the street. You never really know, find out what her name is or whatever. And then later on, he's there and he sees the girl in the red coat dead on a cart being brought to a pyre.
Okay.
This is the same pyre that it snows ash
I'm
on
sorry.
All the
okay.
people there.
Yeah, I take it back, Tim. That makes sense now. I mean, yeah, okay.
It was a far reach, but just when I was thinking about it being Holocaust, that's what I thought of. I thought of the little girl in the red coat as Zet Chukasa.
If Obi-Wan and Luke are checking off the Jawas are tossing in the pile and Star Wars New Hope.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because I thought of that too. Like, maybe that's like a custom.
How they do it.
In that galaxy far, far away. You just burn bodies, because I always thought that was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Even as a little kid, seeing C-3PO carrying those Jawa corpses and carelessly throwing them on the fire.
Yeah, no kidding. He almost put out the fire too, that dumbass.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just what you do. But like Tim said, this is a way for them to categorize this, you know, group of people as exterminated. Except for these two knuckleheads that are wandering around in the wilderness.
Yeah, they can figure out who was killed and who is still out there, so they know who to hunt in terms of official Jedi. Yeah.
Now, according to all the things that you guys tell me about the books and the games and the comics and stuff, there's all kinds of rogue Jedi that got out of there and were never killed. Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what I hate about that stuff. Like. To me, that doesn't make sense. This is the way it is. It's the way in the movies is the way it is, and that's just the way I am. But I guess it wouldn't work, because you said, you know, this person got out and this person got out, and I'm like, who are they?
I do agree with that, Dave. Even though I do like the books a lot more than you do, but it always drives Boba Fett is still alive in the books, and that does drive me crazy. As far as I'm concerned, the real truth is he died. He died in the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, I take when it comes to reading the books, very rarely do I think, oh, this is how it actually is. Especially, we'll take Boba Fett as a case in point. It's like Boba Fett dies,
right?
He doesn't get pulled out by Dengar and nursed back to health, and then back out on the prowl again as a bounty hunter. No, he's slowly digested over 1,000 years.
Well, agreed. This was a good character. I mean, I don't know. I know some of us were kind of leery about this one, and I was maybe too. Like, this, what are we going to talk about with this guy? But
right.
We all liked him. We
yeah.
And I don't know if that's ever happened before. I mean, other than like Bossk and the ones that everybody likes. But for a prequel character, this may be the one and only time that all four of us are saying thumbs up on, you know, Jet Lucas or whatever the hell his name is. But
Titty.
So this was a success.
Yeah.
Tim,
and, you brought peace and accord to Star Wars in character through the prequels. Who would have ever thought that? Although your research was shit because you missed a lot of stuff that was easy to find, but that's another story.
I was streamlining, I think is the word.
Mm-hmm.
I was tightening.
Yep.
Matt, did you do some research on a website?
I did. This is funny. This site must have been made by Tim. It's a forums.spacebattles.com, and someone posted the question, Luke Skywalker versus the Padawan who died in Revenge of the Sith as Bail Organa watched, who would win? And he posted that on July 14th of 2010, and you would think it would be a topic of discussion, but no one has answered in over a year. So someone answer this poor guy's question. He's been waiting for over a year now to find out who would win. Because yeah. I was already, because I saw the first post, I was like, oh, this could be interesting. I scrolled down, I'm like, there's nothing there. I was like, this can't be my site, or can it? Can I help this guy out? So we'll try. So yeah. I'll post a link, and hopefully this guy can finally get an answer.
Hmm. He's waiting.
I want to get on there.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we will all have the link as this show is released.
Thank you, Matt, for that.
Yeah, You're welcome. That's interesting because, like, you see how great this kid was with his flips and his sword handling and the power that Tim had said about being able to predict the blasts coming and stuff like that. You wonder, had none of this happened, what he would have become. Like, maybe he would have been one of the, you know, more powerful Jedi. Like, as a 10-year-old, he took out 8 dudes when the masters were getting 1 or 2. Like, what would this kid have become? He could have been really.
Been a contender.
I was thinking that, yeah.
So, I like this guy.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
All right, Chris.
Well, it's time.
For some more
trivia.
Butt kicking by Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That fall's coming. I hit 20. That might be where I peak.
You are at 20. Let's run down the scores for our trivia, our Star Wars and character trivia. Matt is in the lead with 20. And then I'm in second with 18.
You are.
Then Tim with 15 and Chris right behind him with 14. So, Chris.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I hope so.
You hope so. Be confident.
Okay.
You're going to get this one right. Multiple choice is always available, but take a shot if you don't want the multiple choice. To the question, what was Owen Lars's job?
A moistener farmer.
A what?
Moistener.
A moisture farmer?
Moistener.
What?
He's insisting on using that word.
I'm so tired.
I will give you the four choices.
Good.
Eope farmer.
No, it doesn't sound like moistener.
B is a dwarf Nuna farmer.
A what? A dwarf?
A dwarf Nuna farmer.
Okay.
C is a moisture farmer.
Go ahead.
And D is a dewback farmer.
I want to say B or D. I'm going to say C, the moisteners farmer.
Where are you getting that extra letter from?
No idea. That was just funny.
Well, moisture farmer is correct, C. Owen Lars, a moisture farmer. Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. You're tied with Tim at 15.
Tim, get it wrong.
But Tim has 9. And Tim's question is this. Tim, are you ready?
All right. I'm ready.
Of whom was Grand Moff Tarkin speaking when he said, quote, surely he must be dead by now, end quote?
Obi-Wan / Ben Kenobi.
Absolutely correct, Tim.
16.
What'd you say?
16.
Okay.
Nice going, Tim.
Thank you.
And that leads us to our leader, Matt.
All right.
20. Matt, your question is this. Now, this is one of the ones where we have a quote. So, I'm going to insist on exact quotes here.
Okay.
And in that case, you may want to take the multiple choice, but it's up to you. The question is this. What was C-3PO's first exclamation after he was turned back on by Chewbacca in The Empire Strikes Back?
Okay. Well, we got a couple of possibilities, so I'm going to go with the multiple choice.
Okay. Choice A is, who was that rude protocol droid?
Oh, nice impression.
B was, stormtroopers, here? I've got to warn the others. Oh no, I've been shot! C was, where is R2-D2 when I need him? I'll never find the princess at that rate. And D, with all we've been through, I don't know how I've stayed in one piece.
B.
B is absolutely correct. Phew,
I'm good.
The possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
See, I'm glad I went multiple choice because I, like, two-thirds of that quote is not what I was going to say. I said, like, the first couple words, and so with Dave's stringent rules on quotes, I would have not gotten a point.
Well, I think we should be held to a higher standard.
I agree.
Good. Congratulations, Matt.
Once again.
Thank you.
21 and counting.
He is a fucking master.
All right, I'm ready, Chris.
All right, you ready, Dave?
I am absolutely ready.
I have yours here.
Okay.
Okay. Where's it at? Okay. Who played the clumsy and stupid Admiral Azzel in The Empire Strikes Back?
The actor's name?
The actor's name.
Ooh.
That sucks.
Now, had you or Tim gotten this for any character, it probably wouldn't be a big deal because you've met most of these guys, and Tim can tell you who with Fist Stormtrooper from the right in this scene and that scene was. Tim knows all these guys, and it seems like he knows them all by name. I know very few of these guys, but this is one of the guys that I do know because at the very first convention we went to, he was there, and we all met him, and he was very nice, and he's now passed away, and I believe his name is Michael Sheard.
Michael Sheard.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct.
Wow. I'm very impressed, Dave.
Tim, I got some things here. Here's the choices. Two of them I never even heard of. Julian Glover. Veers, right?
Julian Glover is him, and he's also...
Veers.
He's also the villain in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Who is his name here? Milton Johns.
No idea.
Me neither.
Milton Johns. And I have his autograph on an index card.
Do you really? Who is it?
Shoot. I cannot remember the character he played, but I do have his autograph on an index card.
Not the guy from Office Space?
And this one's Oliver McGuire. Never heard of that name.
I do not know Oliver McGuire. That name does not ring a bell.
I thought it was just cool that it had some names I never even heard of before.
But Milton Johns, I do. Maybe he was Lieutenant Paul Tredium. I don't have my autograph book nearby, but I believe I do have Milton Johns on an index card. That's one of the ones I wrote and got it through the mail.
Well, he's in Empire Strikes Back, and he's only listed as actor.
Oh, really?
He's on IMDb?
This is on IMDb. At least you know what movie he's in, but yeah.
Actor?
That's funny. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, he's listed.
Captain Bewill.
He's listed as Imperial Officer.
Yep, Captain Bewill is his official title.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yep.
I've never heard of that guy.
Who was the other guy, Chris?
Oliver Stone? What?
Oliver. McGuire?
Oliver Stone. Well, that's cool. I'm just glad it was that guy and not somebody else.
That was cool. I had a feeling that you knew it, but I thought you'd be like stumped with all the names out there.
No, he's one of the only guys I know, and maybe it's because Tim was asking us just yesterday if we had any requests for guys to do. And I requested him because I've met some of these guys, and I don't expect any of them to actually be nice. I think, you know, I don't expect any celebrity to really put themselves out there and be nice when you meet them. And he went out of his way to sit there and talk to us and tell us stories. And he had written a book, and he was trying to get us to buy his book. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
he was.
And
he
then
was
Dave said, "I find reading a tremendous waste of time."
Yeah, I should have told him that.
I can't read it.
And he was just a nice old English gentleman.
He was.
Who told us a couple funny stories, and then he died, I guess, not too long after that. So
Oliver McGuire played Lieutenant Cabell, who said outside of Hoth, "Sir, rebel ships are coming into our sector." To which Captain Lennox replied, "Good, our first catch of the day."
That's cool.
See, researched him.
Yeah. Well, we did a great job on trivia, everybody. Good job. I am still losing.
4 for 4. 2 shows in a row.
Hey.
We would like to thank you for listening to a Star Wars character discussion about Zet Jukasa. Join us next time we discuss Chief Chirpa.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.